is a Bramble Jam podcast.
Hi, happy Thanksgiving. I'm Bran. I love Hallmark Christmas movies.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving. It's Panda. And I like Hallmark Christmas movies.
I'm Dan. I wish you the happiest of Thanksgiving. And if you like this movie, I'm really sorry. I despise Hallmark Christmas movies.
I'm Paul Campbell. And I am Hallmark Christmas movies.
And this is the Deck the Hallmark podcast.
God, wait! Yes. Yes.
You know what? It's a different kind of Thanksgiving this year.
Oh boy, is it?
Trying to not just stay out of big groups. And Paul texted us and he said, "What are you guys doing for Thanksgiving?" And we said, "We're recording an episode." And he was like, "Awesome! I'm Canadian. We have like Boxing Day or something. I don't know. Right. Well, I'll just come along and hang out with you guys." So, thanks for spending Thanksgiving with us, Paul.
Is it Thanksgiving?
It is Thanksgiving.
We did ours like a month ago. We got it out of the way. We don't like to bunch our holidays up too tightly. You know what
that's
I mean?
Right.
I am with him on that. Yeah. I feel like everyone gets mad at me because I love Christmas and I've been listening to Christmas music since Halloween. Well, before then, let's be honest. But like, and you're like, you don't like that. I love Thanksgiving, but if it was like a little bit earlier, I feel like I wouldn't get this cred. You know?
You would do better on Thanksgiving. Like you would give it.
I do the do. And my goodness, Paul, you're spending this is a premiere day for you.
That's right.
Your movie's coming out tonight and you are spending it with us, which means so much. How does it feel? Talk us through on premiere day. Do you wake up, you get some butterflies in your belly? Like, what's it like for you knowing that your creation is about to go out of its cage? I've been losing my mind and see the world. How do you feel?
I just woke up and cracked a beer. it's a little bit nerve-wracking, but I also know that it's a great movie. So it's not, you know, here's what I'll say. I was not involved in the editing process. And I know that our movie, when it was all cut together, just what we shot from the script was 30 minutes too long.
Good.
30 minutes. So they had to cut 30 minutes out of that movie. I don't know what 30 minutes they cut. I don't know how that works in terms of fluid storytelling. I don't know if they cut jokes. I don't know if I'm even in the movie anymore, personally. If I were them, I would be the first thing they would cut. So I'm excited to see what story they pulled out of the script. But I'm excited for people to see it. I think it's funny. And the preview, even just in the little preview that I saw, I was like, oh, they kept some of the jokes. Yeah. There's jokes in there. It's going to be good.
I saw the preview they played during the preview show, and then I've seen some of the commercials, and it looks funny. It looks fast. It looks funny. I'm excited about it because it's got this wacky whimsy that I'm really excited.
Have you been scarred enough times, Paul, with jokes that you thought just landed while you're making Hallmark movies that they just, it never made the light of day until you see it, you're not going to believe it?
100%. I don't get attached to anything now because in truth with Hallmark, particularly the jokes are the first thing they cut when they're editing because the jokes are not necessarily the story, right? They're trying to find the heart of the story. The jokes always go first. So, I stopped like many, many, many movies ago. I stopped turning to my friends and go, oh wait, watch, this is gonna be really funny, really funny. And then I'm like, oh, it just cut. There was an act out. They just cut away and nothing. It's happened so many times.
Yeah. But,
there's probably half a dozen jokes in the movie that I really hope they kept. Cause there's half a dozen that really made me laugh. And there's a couple even in the preview that I thought the line about, I said, nice casual, not bingo night at the Legion. It was one of my favorite lines in the movie and they kept it. So
Now you said, you tried out a Southern accent for this movie, which I'm really excited about. Is that accurate?
I did. Yeah. I tried to do a little Southern accent for the movie. And they were like, hey, you sound like a big fat dummy. Stop doing that.
You sound like a real Dan.
You sound like a real Dan Thompson. Right. Yeah,
yeah. I got to know, this was your baby, you and Kimberly's, and you wrote it, I believe. What was it like? Was this the first movie you've written from start to finish? And kind of what was the process like for you? Did you find it to be come to you easily, or did it take some time to really get into the groove of writing? Because I imagine it's totally different than reading the words on the screen.
This is the first movie that I've written not to completion, to the first movie I've ever written. I have written a couple comedy pilots, some half hour stuff, but I've never written a feature. And to be honest, the writing itself is not, I found it, it comes really easily to me. The process though, in writing for Hallmark, because they, it's very, very specific. The sort of the story trajectories, the components of the story that they really like to see. I think if you, you guys have watched every Hallmark movie ever made, so you know that there are consistent story points that you hit, and there's a consistent tone generally. So really trying to find all of those pieces to accommodate what Hallmark is doing was the difficult part. There was, we wrote three completely different iterations of this movie before we landed on the final one. There was three totally different scripts from start to finish over the course of 2 years. So that part of the process was tough, but also because it was my first script, we expected this incredibly steep learning curve. And I think in doing the next one, it would be a lot easier. I realize now, because we wrote a spec, we wrote the script without selling them the story.
Right.
And they were like, yeah, we love the script. Here's what we're going to do to change it. And it was a brand new script. We love the script. Let's burn it and start from scratch.
Yeah. That's great. Fantastic. I'm excited to see it. The first movie of yours that we saw when we started this podcast in 2018 was A God Went Christmas.
Mm-hmm, sure was.
The first of now three God Wink movies.
This time they're playing for keeps.
They're playing for keeps.
God Wink 3.
I thought it was even winkier.
Even winkier. That was two. Yeah. It was even winkier.
Even winkier?
Yeah. God Wink for life is the fourth one.
Come on, guys.
Is it L-Y-F-E?
Yeah, it is. It is.
It's just too easy.
Too God to wink.
So when I...
is a second God, a parallel universe. They're both winking. We don't know where it's coming from.
It's a wink off.
Everybody's just winking.
Oh, no. No spoilers, please.
That's the guess. When I saw that this movie, our episode for it, was going to drop on the date that your movie was coming out, it just seemed too perfect to not have you join us. So thank you for joining us. Was that a God wink?
There it was.
Yeah.
And we're going to be talking about God Wink Christmas, Second Chance, First Love. It originally aired on November 22nd, 2020.
2020.
A little something like this. Margie. And I saw it and I was like, is that right? Margie is, you know, she's a big time business girl. She's vice president of marketing of this big company. And she's having to work with this guy named Scott. Scott's in town and they have a thing going on, I think. We'll find out soon, I hope. Pat and his two kids moved to Idaho from Hawaii. And his kids are pumped about that move. So yes, Scott and Margie are a thing. They're going to be working together Margie are a thing. They're going to be working side by side. HR is pumped about this. They're like, YOLO. So Pat goes to go pick up some Christmas toothbrushes, as you do, and bumps into Margie. They dated in high school. They loved each other. They said it. And he found a charm of her in his car right now and gives it to her, says, hey, I found your charm in this car. And they exchange numbers and they go on their way. God Wink, baby. But they can't stop thinking about each other. Luckily, the bump into each other again at the Christmas market, and he wastes no time inviting himself over to her house. But when he finds out that she has a boyfriend of 6 months, he's like, I'm gonna go ahead and leave now, but not before a lingering hug. God Wink. Her boyfriend Scott is up for a promotion in Indianapolis, and they're not sure if long distance is worth continuing to do or not. They're gonna talk about it at dinner. Pat and his kids go get a Christmas tree, and guess who he hits with his Christmas tree? Margie, it's God Wink! She goes over to decorate with the family. They have a snowball fight, and she even tracked down their missing ornaments that were missing on a truck somewhere. She got them, though, don't worry. God Wink. But then she suddenly is like, listen, we shouldn't do this anymore. We shouldn't keep hanging out. This just isn't right. So Pat is out for coffee. coffee, bumps into a guy, God wink, and he might be able to get a job in Seattle doing more outdoorsy stuff, which is what he was doing in Hawaii, but he's not sure how he feels about uprooting his kids once again now that they're here in Idaho. So they're out shopping. They bump into Margie again. God winks, take it down a notch. His ex-wife shows up and for Christmas, and she's like, hey, I met somebody. I'm going to introduce the kids. And so that's like really closing that chapter, I guess. He then goes with Margie on a hike and they talk about, you know, each other, and they almost kiss, but they get interrupted by literally nothing. Good guy Scott is getting groomed to take her job, apparently. No one saw it coming, not even Scott. And he's like, listen, I'm going to go look for another job. I don't want to take your job. And she's like, I'm going to go break up with you right now. That's the conversation we're having. Sorry, Scott. He decides that he's going to take that job in Seattle. He tells Margie and she gets real sad. But good news, she gets a promotion and it's in headquarters in Seattle. They kiss. And that, my friends, was God wink Christmas, second chance, first love.
We did it.
We sure did.
Yes.
Oh, it feels good. Man, I love those God winks chimes. We are going to take a quick break. We're going to dive into this movie with the hot takes, all the feels. You know the ones. Maybe some razzle dazzle. We'll razzle see. Dazzle. But we'll be right back here on Deck the Hallmark. Oh, that was good. Man. That was a good Thanksgiving break.
Good,
you know, you just need a breather sometimes. You eat some pie, do whatever you want to.
I spent the entire
unbuckle
break.
Unbuckle the pants. Unbuckle.
That's right.
That's right. Out on the couch.
And Paul's not even celebrating Thanksgiving. He just does that. He just sits down on the couch.
I'm not even wearing pants.
I was in the middle of my synopsis and I look over and I'm just getting a show. And I'm like, boy, this is happening. God willing.
Lots to give thanks
God
for, isn't there?
Yeah, that's lots right. to give lots thanks for.
That's right.
Oh boy. Friendlytv.com/DTH. Watch right. this. We have four segments on the show to break down the movie. We always start with the hot take. And the reason being is it's the cornerstone. We share how we feel about the movie and then build off of that. And no one is a better builder and a better groundbreaker. You break grounds with your hot takes.
I try to.
Then my good friend Panda. Panda, tell us.
Well,
nailed it. Thank you.
Thanks. Man, guys, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to bring the mood down. This isn't my favorite one of the year. and I don't think it's going to be in my top 35 or so. It's going to find itself maybe in the bottom quadrant, maybe bottom. It doesn't do it for me for a variety of reasons. First of all, the plot is not particularly interesting. I think Brooke does an admirable job in this as much as you can with the material. The God wink is a little overdone in this, and by a little, I mean a lot. And
God may just have something in his eye, is what you're saying.
Yeah, he got a speck in his eye.
Check the speck in your eye. What is it that God
something
says?
Something about a plank, or I don't remember.
Like, I always feel bad whenever I don't like one of these, because people clearly, they spent time, they spent energy into this, and unfortunately, I feel like it was misguided energy directed maybe the wrong direction in this. I'm going to do a pass on this one.
Pass. It's a pass. It's a God wink pass. Paul, what do you think of God wink 3?
Looking forward to this.
Well, listen, here's the thing. These particular stories are tough to judge as stories because they are based on true events.
Sure.
So, you know, all of these God winks, these coincidences and these circumstances, things that brought them together, I'd like to believe that the majority of these, at the very least, happened for real. So I can't say, oh, wow, what a coincidence. How convenient. I mean, that's the whole point of this. Right. It was a crazy coincidence. I think at its core, it's a really sweet story. I think that maybe from a filmmaking perspective, the stakes weren't particularly high. It felt just like a very sweet reuniting of these two. I don't know that the script was terribly strong. I think the performances I liked, but both Brooke and Sam, I think they're both really great actors and they delivered grounded, sweet performances, but I don't know that it was a terribly dynamic, exciting story. I think it was just very sweet. So on the whole, I'd say it was nice. It was a nice movie.
Man,
nice.
Paul nailed it.
I want to picky. I want to piggyback off that because this is what I will say. This movie was just like a standard, generic Hallmark movie, but with a God stamp on it. Like there was nothing miraculous. No. I think this is what you're saying, Paul. About like there weren't like these crazy. Like these are the things that happen in these movies every week and every day this week during Thanksgiving week. You know, the person coming back and they just happen to bump into each other. Sometimes they hit each other with a tree. Like those are the things that happen. And so I think I would have. You know, if you're going to be like, God, man, God is really up to something here. What's he up to? Like, make it even crazier, I think. It just felt like, and again, this is someone's real story, so who am I? But I don't know how they sold this story because it's just like another one of these stories that we see in Hallmark. And so I think it was just like, yeah, God's winking, but God winks. If that's a God wink, God winks in every single one of these movies. We're just happening to stamp God on this one. And so for that, it was just, you know, this isn't my favorite series that Hallmark has for you know different reasons, and so it's also a pass for me just because listen, God's up to something. Make it bigger, God. Come on, step up your game.
Step up your game.
Are you telling God what to do?
To step up his game.
Campbell's out. He's like, dude. Yeah.
God, take a seat. I've seen your work. I've seen what you're up to. You're not crushing it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Paul. I'm sorry, everyone involved. The Godwink movies are the epitome of everything wrong with Hallmark movies and cinema in general. They are equal opportunity offenders of atheists and God believers somehow. They're movies that don't hold up under any scrutiny at all. And somehow each one gets worse from the previous one. This movie has nothing particularly God wink about it, aside from these people keep running into each other, which is commonplace in literally every Hallmark movie ever made. There is no reason to call this movie a God wink movie. Aside from the fact that I guess it needed to be, but for the enterprise to continue each and every year, it's really, really bad. It not being dynamic is the nicest way you could have put this. It's a dumpster fire. It's my least favorite of the year, and it's not really even close. It's one of my least favorite movies that I've ever seen of any kind.
Wow.
And I'm
that's a statement.
It is one of my least favorite movies I've ever seen on any screen in any. I booed during
you
the movie.
Boo, yes. I will say at least Paul's like had a broken carousel element to it.
There's a broken carousel. And then the next one there's multiple sclerosis involved.
But Brooke is just losing jewelry. She's like just God's losing, just like, hey.
She just can't keep earrings in her ear. Like that's the God wink in this movie. What in the world happened?
Let me say this. I'm going to defend it in this sense, because if you looked at this story, if a friend was like, hey, I got to tell you this crazy story. I ran into this woman 14 times in the same day. and then just as I was moving, decided that we couldn't be together because I was going to move to Seattle, she got a promotion and she's moving to Seattle. You'd be like, that's insane. This is impossible.
Sure.
From a fictional perspective, of course, Hallmark uses a lot of those, you know, chance meetings, but they're fiction. But for a story where that really happened, it is pretty extraordinary if two people are brought together that consistently. So it sort of pales when compared to standard fiction, but this is nonfiction. So you have to look at it.
Inspired by a true story. I get the feeling they took a good deal of license with this, right?
Well, we don't know how much.
Yeah, we don't.
Your Godwink was based off a true story, correct?
Yeah, they all are, right?
It was, and I don't know how much license they took with the storytelling. I feel like they tried to stay fairly true to the original events. Otherwise, I mean, that's the reason it's a Godwink, the reason that it qualifies as a Godwink is because the circumstances are so extraordinary. Purely from a nonfiction standpoint, those circumstances are extraordinary. They just don't play as incredibly dynamic in a fictional setting.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. That's why it's easy to judge and go, oh, it's kind of boring. But if you're like, It's actually kind of incredible if you think about it.
It's just surrounded by movies where that happens every movie. Yeah, and so it kind of loses its winkiness, you know?
In 40, you know, basically out of 60 days of the holiday season, 40 movies come out where this happens for fiction, and one of them is nonfiction. It just kind of, it kind of dilutes into nothing. And here's the thing is, if the movie is good, like, In your movie, what, like the first Godwink, I'm not saying that I'm championing that movie, but the lead performances with you and Kimberly, there's this weird carousel that keeps breaking down, that you're flying out to Martha's Vineyard. There seems to be a lot that has to happen in conjunction with each other. Whereas in this movie, it's just high school sweethearts that keep meeting. It doesn't like feel like it had the same level of, you know, I can't believe this really happened to it that the other two did. And the other two, I'm not a fan of either, but because
you prick.
It's time for All the Feels, part of the show. We talk about what this movie gave us those feels. Panda?
You know, I think that the grandma, when she welcomes the two boys in for the first time, she does an admirable job. It's just trying to make them feel like they're at home. That it was always like my grandma and I always lived far apart, so I didn't get a chance to see her. Sometimes it'd go years without seeing her. So whenever I did come, there was that anticipation of, hey, getting to see your grandma, but then also she would always just have like treats for me and try to make me feel as comfortable as possible. That was a sweet feel for me in this movie.
Sweet feels. I love sweet feels. Paul, any feels for you?
Yeah, I really liked the, first of all, huge props to the character of Pat, Sam Page's character, because he has just moved his family from Hawaii to Boise, Idaho in the dead of winter. And he's not drunk from morning to night, which is what any other sane human would do. You wake up, you'd be like, boys, get yourself some Cheerios. Daddy's having a beer, because he is fighting to be the best dad he can for those boys, despite what is arguably the worst possible move you could make. And I really felt like him just sort of trying to do the right thing for those boys, what was best for him and his family, but ultimately trying to protect those boys and make sure they feel welcome and they make sure they feel at home. As a father of a young son, that really connected with me, that he was like, he's just a good guy trying to do the right thing.
No doubt. I'm agreeing with Panda here. The grandma, I loved her. And I just got to say this. There was a lot of things that she did and said that gave me feels. The thing that blew me the way the most, and I'm not a big fashion boy, but when I see someone pulling something off, I just like to say pulling that off. And towards the end of this movie, she gets out and she's wearing a hat. And she's pulling that hat off. And if you are listening to this, grandma, pulling it off. Continue to do that. You are rocking that hat. Gave me feels. Gave me hat feels. Dan?
I want to say this. She went full Canadian Mountie.
Yeah,
she did.
Moment.
She really
did. She had
did.
The red top. She had the brown hat. I was like, that's a Royal Canadian Mounted Police, Grandma. And I'm here for it.
Yeah. And she was pulling it off.
I saw Royal Canadian Mounted Police Grandma live.
Oh, boy.
So good.
Yes.
Great show.
Unbelievable.
They did four encores.
It's underground. You have to get the invite through Chipmunk.
Yeah.
I don't even know how that works. But once you're there, it's
your understanding of Canadian culture is...
We saw Paul there. We couldn't even speak. It was a rule. Like, we couldn't do it. But it was a great show. You're right.
No eye contact even. No, it was intense.
Nothing. That's right.
But everyone was on their phone. It was a very...
It was confusing. It was a weird show. Chipmunk only rings once. I didn't really have any feels. I did love the grandma in this movie and her not feeling like someone who... she has traditions, but not old and necessarily set in her ways. Like, yes, I'm willing to just jump and move back to Seattle because that's where my family's going to be. Like, I found that to be a very endearing character in this movie. But I didn't have any particular, like, one scene where I was like, yeah, that really works for me. No.
But she was pulling that hat off.
She was completely pulling the hat off.
I think we can all agree.
I would not have noticed, but you brought attention to it while we were watching it. And I was like, oh yeah, look
she
at that.
She is
look
pulling at that off. Yeah. Hey, let's take one more break. We'll get into those wait whats if you guys don't mind. Let's back into that break. Absolutely. We'll be right back here on Deck the Hallmark. We're back. It's time for a Wait What, the part of the show we talk about what this movie is. Go Wait What, Panda?
So the dad goes to the general store, and it's not a big general store. I think you see it from across the street. It's pretty small, and he picks up toothbrushes. And one of the toothbrushes he picks up just plays Jingle Bells.
Yeah.
I'm not an expert in what they carry. Typically, general stores, pretty small selection of the bare essentials.
We're in
here.
Boise, Idaho. It's Boise. It's the biggest city in Idaho. I did some research on Idaho, and I'm serious. I did.
Yeah,
I don't doubt it. Can you name me another city in Idaho?
No, that's Iowa.
Can you name me another city in Idaho, Paul?
It's a trick question. There is no other city. Right.
I couldn't name another city in Idaho, and I felt bad about that. Boise is the only city in Idaho with over 100,000 people in it. Huh. The only one.
Okay.
True story. So I'm saying it's big
for
Idaho.
So it's possible. Okay, yeah. I'll let slide then. I was a little concerned about the toothbrush that just plays Jingle Bells. I wasn't sure what's going on with that. The two boys go into the store to go buy their grandma a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that there's going to be product placement in these movies, but there is probably, in my mind, one of the most egregious product placements of all time of the Hallmark greeting card.
It's the signature, Hallmark signature greeting card. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She picks it up and it cuts to the card. She opens it. It's dead silent, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. There's no music playing.
Closes the card, flips it over. That's a real scene in
So you can see signature on the back of it. Paul, if you're asked to do that in a movie, what are you saying?
I have done it in a movie. That one stood out for me, too. I was like, oh no. Oh, no.
It kept going.
There are more graceful ways to handle those. I find that I probably do them in every other movie. In Holiday Hearts, we were featuring this Christmas tree where the lights go on and off. Mm-hmm. And it was essentially, we had a little ad for the tree and how it works.
But I remember that.
We looked up the tree afterwards. We looked it up.
They sold the heck out of
that tree. It was woven into the energy of the scene, and it was flawless. I mean, a lot of these movies rely on, product placement just to subsidize costs and stuff like that. That particular one, even I was like, oh man.
Yeah. Paul, does it fix it completely if they play the Godwink chime at the end of it? So you go buy a card.
I don't know. That one was, because it was the front of the card, the middle, and the back, I thought, oh, that, as an actor, you just go, all right, we're doing this.
Okay. I like to think that if that were you, you would end it with, man, that is one heck of a card.
These Hallmark signature cards really do stand apart.
It was really something.
And you got this from Hallmark.com?
Wow.
Crazy. So cool.
Those are tough. But you got to do it. It's part of the game. You have to do it.
Yeah. It was just a little egregious for me. Finally, at one point, the dad, talking about his boys and their allowances, he says they do chores around the home. He goes, and they do volunteer work to get their allowance.
No, he didn't say that. He said they get an allowance, and then he says they do volunteer work, and they do. No, but they work for neighbors
for spending money.
Yeah, so they do. They get an allowance. They do volunteer work. They work for their neighbors for spending money. He never says volunteer for money.
Are you sure?
Positive.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Because I want to know how they're in Idaho for 4 days and already have done work for the neighbors.
That's fair.
That's important for me. How is that possible?
I felt like it was the Hawaiian neighbors and they just brought that money on.
I was more concerned just the way he said it, that they were doing volunteer work for spending money. And at which point I would argue and I would simply suggest that volunteer work is no longer volunteer work if you are getting some money for it in compensation. Just a thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll write that down. I'll make a mental note of that because I've been doing it wrong this whole time. Paul, anyway, what's for you?
Yeah, I had a few.
Yeah.
So the first one, I'll say this: the little meet cute.
Yeah.
The first time that Margie and Pat meet each other, I think it was really well done in this one. And when for me, the movie lived or died on their chemistry. I thought they had really good chemistry together, and they played it really sweet. But there's a moment when he says, oh, give me your phone number. And he hands over his phone and so she can input her information. And she looks at it and there's a picture on the screen of his boys. And she looks at the picture and then it kind of gives her a moment of like, oh, these are your cute boys. And then she starts entering. And then it cuts to her just going, ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. And she hands the phone back. There's my number. A, either that was the lock screen and it was just a picture of his boys, or B, he handed her the phone with a picture of his boys up on the screen and she just started typing her number into that
the picture.
Screen. Did she get, did she know, how did she get past the lock screen? And here's what I think might happen. Sometimes, like I said, we cut 30 minutes out of our own movie, Christmas by Starlight. I want to believe there was a moment where she looked at the picture and she's like, oh, can you just, you have to get it past the thing. And then he goes, oh, of course, takes the picture of the boys off. And then she inputs the info, because I don't know any technology where you just start typing your number into a photo of two boys and then hand it back.
True.
But there was no moment there that I was like, I think we need to revisit how tech works here. That was one. Second thing was they're decorating the tree and she pulls out the decoration. It's one of the, it's like a little, a Christmas gift ornament. And she goes, oh, you kept my ornaments or something. You kept my decorations. And he goes, well, I kept all the ornaments that matched your bracelet. You can't throw away fate. What?
I had that written down, Paul. You can't throw away fate.
Throw away fate. You can't do anything to fate. It's always bothered me, the phrase, don't tempt fate. You can't tempt fate.
No.
By its very nature, fate cannot be tempted. It is what it is. Don't tempt me. I'm going to happen regardless. And the throwaway fate, I was like, I don't even know what that means. But no, you can't. You're right. Yeah. Thanks for pointing that out. And then I had one other great moment when in the coffee shop, when Pat runs into his buddy, Patrick, his buddy that has like the adventure company. And he goes, what's his name? I think I wrote his name down here. He goes, are you, whatever his last name was, he goes, oh, are you Patrick so-and-so? And his response is, am I in trouble? What is that guy hiding? I want to know why. Yeah. His go-to is, am I in trouble? You assume that if somebody knows your name, you're in trouble for something. I feel like that dude has a shady past, or he's hiding some stuff and he is super guilty. And that's the spinoff. That's what I,
yeah.
That's the movie I want to see, is what's Patrick been up to?
100%. Mm-hmm. Pat yeah. Shepard, I think, was his name.
Yeah, Pat Shepard. Right. Yeah, Pat Patrick Shepard. Am I
doing,
in trouble?
One of them.
Doing shady stuff.
Do you know?
Devil wink.
Depends on what you know. and if you have a badge. I have never seen two kids more upset about seeing a white Christmas than these kids.
Yeah,
I understand they're bummed about leaving Hawaii. Who wouldn't be? But it's a white Christmas. Like, come on. Like, you got to be a little bit excited about it. But they're just like,
Hawaii to Idaho.
Yeah, no, I get it. But I just feel like if I spent my entire life in Hawaii and I had been hearing every Christmas, I'm dreaming of Hawaii, at some point I'm going to be like, oh, I can't wait to like, I can't wait. I love a white Christmas.
Yeah, if they had never seen snow before, that's a different story.
Yeah.
Do you think they'd never,
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, that's interesting.
There was vegetables being sold at the Christmas tree lot, and I just don't know why. Like, I don't know if we just missed something. Like, it's, it's an all-encompassing lot. I don't know.
It's just Christmas trees and veggies. Those are the two things you can buy.
The two most important things this time of year. The mom who shows up from San Francisco for a scene or two.
Oh my gosh.
Talks about her new guy and says, we're going to take it slow, but I think he's the one. So there's a lot going on there. I feel like you should just decide. Pat continues to say this thing during the movie where he's like, I just always wonder what would happen if I didn't move to Hawaii. And Pat, I'm here to tell you what would happen. You wouldn't have your kids, Pat.
That's right.
Have your kids.
That's right.
You love your kids. In this whole movie, you're like, man, I wonder what would have happened.
Yeah. And also, Brooke Dior said, I wonder what happened if I had moved to Hawaii. He wouldn't have his kids.
Yeah.
Like, you cannot, as soon as you have children, you can no longer play.
You say, you know what?
That game.
That was worth it.
You lose it.
You can't publicly play that game. You can't do it.
Oh, man.
It's over.
Or the game just becomes, I wonder what if I didn't have kids.
Yeah, exactly. Paul is taking the next step for us, which is now we're in dangerous territory.
I just want him to come out and say that that's what he's wondering.
Yeah.
I wonder if I didn't have all these responsibilities.
That's years of therapy for those poor kids.
Yeah. And then at the very end, we get this the real true story, kind of. We see the people in the pictures. And on one of the pictures, you know what happens sometimes with these God wings is you get a little chime and then you see a little sparkle. And we heard a chime and a sparkle on that specific earring.
Yeah.
And I didn't, like, that earring wasn't one of the charms. I don't know. I was very confused as to why they just, they felt like the need to do one more chime and sparkle, sparkle, baby, sparkle. So I was just confused when it happened.
In that scene, that picture at the end, it's clear that the husband, that they didn't have two sons. Like, he didn't have two sons. One, there was a son and a daughter, wasn't there? Two daughters?
We got questions.
There were so many questions about the actual, actually am more curious about the actual story than this movie, for sure. Let's talk again about the meet cute, shall we? He's driving his dad's old Ford Fairlane, classic car. She's driving her sensible sedan, whatever it is. And he's driving and he sees her little earring in the car. And she is behind him. Like, I want to she's behind, you already know where I'm going. She's behind him. He sees the rearview mirror. Is that you? Is that you, Pat? That's you, Boba. And they both pull over and parallel park. They get out and talk. And then we pan back and their cars are facing each other. What happened?
I wrote it down.
You just didn't have the heart to say it? Is that pretty much it?
I think she spun out. I think she did a full tail whip and spun out
She heard us doing Fast and Furious puns, and she was like, I got you Tokyo Drift right here. Your Boise Drift. Let's go. And I didn't understand that. Can we talk a little bit about math here? This movie, I think, thinks math is some foreign concept that is also completely necessary for all parts of life. He basically, they're talking, and she says, I don't know how you went to run a business when I had to help you with Algebra 1, Algebra 2, Geometry, and Trigonometry. If you need those things to run a small business, we're all in big trouble. Yeah. I run a small business. I could not tell you the cosecant of the delta of theta. I can't do it. Like, I'm sorry. Like, we're in big trouble here if that's what it takes. And then we go back to that math well one more time to dig up some more gold. He says, what are the odds that we gave each other the same gift 6 years in a row? She says that. And he says, well, I was never good at math. It doesn't matter how good at math you are. That is an impossible math equation. Impossible. Unless we know number of gifts in the store or in the world, there's no way to determine that probability. It's literally impossible. It doesn't matter if you're good at math or not, Pat. That is neither here nor
you
there.
You say that, but Panda's has done it. Panda, what is it? Yeah.
Five.
Oh, good. Good.
Plus minus two.
Yeah. We got
five plus minus
plus
two.
Minus plus two. Minus interesting. Two. So the odd they give each other the same gift 6 years in a row is five.
It's five plus minus two.
So it could be six or seven.
I think you were doing a poll.
Does Panda run his own small business at
he
all?
Does.
Because I'm feeling
he actually does.
I do. I do. Yeah. Very, very
but not,
top.
Not well.
Not well. No, all of our businesses are tanking, and I want to be clear about
very
that.
Small.
Yeah.
Very
small. I will say I would give all of us a five plus minus two chance. That's
right. I run a triangle business and I never learned trigonometry. It's a real problem.
Right. Interesting. So we took a lot of crap here. I think it may have been the second God Week movie that takes place in Minneapolis. Not Minneapolis. We said Minneapolis.
Doesn't matter. It is what it is.
All kinds of mail. Well, in this movie, Brooke D'Orsay says Indianapolis.
Indianapolis.
I looked it up. I was like, is that another place? I was like, I thought it was Indianapolis.
It is, in fact.
I looked it up, yeah.
Yeah, in Indianapolis. And then Sam is explaining to Brooke in this movie how he ran an adventure company and all the dangerous things he did. And she's like, oh my gosh, that's so scary. And then he says, don't even ask where we ziplined. And she says, please don't say over a volcano. And then he says, well, it was dormant. Like, if it's that obvious that they're ziplining over a volcano, then you don't need to beg the question. Like, I don't understand how she could jump ahead to volcano that quickly. It did not make any sense at all. Can we talk about the ex-wife briefly, who shows up in Boise to visit her ex-mother-in-law and the kids, and then does one scene with them, and then Sam and the kids go off somewhere with Brooke for like 30 minutes.
Until Christmas Day.
What is the ex-wife doing in town? What's like, she's not with her kids. What is she doing?
She's taking it slow with that guy. That's the one.
Yeah, apparently. I don't understand that. We also learned something, and this is, I guarantee you this tricked everyone in this movie, including the screenwriter, to be fair. They say that I'm taking a job. So I'm going to take this job in Seattle. It's closer to the boy's mom. Did you know Seattle is not closer to San Francisco than Boise, Idaho. And not only that, it's not even close. I would have said Seattle is closer. Like, I personally would have said
I think we all would have.
Boise, Idaho is like a 9.5 hour drive from San Francisco. That's it.
Okay.
Seattle's 12 and a half.
Oof.
It's a 12. He's actually moving further away from his ex-wife and the kid's mother. That is what's happening in this movie. And he uses they'll be closer to mom as an actual excuse.
Twice. Well, I think, listen, it's going to fool her too. She's going to be on that drive and be like, it seems longer, but surely it's not.
Yeah. 3.5 hours
I'm
later,
just going like, up.
It's definitely longer.
No. Yeah. Can't be. This also, the company that Brooke D'Orsay works for is an HR nightmare. Like, it's just a night, like, she's dating this guy and they bring him in to work, like, partner with her. And either they know that she's dating him and they put them together anyway, which is a nightmare, or they don't know that they're dating and because they've not revealed it, which is worse.
And neither of them are getting promotions.
Yeah. And I just just was like, you would never do any of these things under any circumstances at all. And then it
is. Love's tricky, Dan.
It is tricky. No one, and this does happen a bunch. So at this point I'm piling on. Nobody has social media. Like the fact that we don't know anything about anybody in this movie, she's never seen a picture of this guy's kids, is just absurd to me. Like it's just, they haven't seen each other.
Story happened. It's a tricky pickle.
Movie, it happens in present day.
It's a tricky pickle for
sure. They're driving brand new cars over the Ford.
No, look, they show the couple at the end and they're clearly like in their 60s or 70s. And then it's 30 years ago. Come on now.
Okay. But the movie didn't take place in 1990 that we watched.
I don't know what you're watching. It definitely did.
Okay, my bad.
It definitely did.
Okay.
You do it? All good?
Sure.
It's time for What the Hallmark is part of the show where we ask any questions that we still have, didn't feel like we got the answer, the resolution that we needed. Panda?
One that I believe that there's a solid answer for, one that there's not. First of all, why did the son take his mom's angel tree topper? What, like, and do we ever have clarity on that? And then, like, why he ended up with her exact ornaments, because she ends up saying, man, I never thought I would see it again. Well, why did you loan it out to your son to begin with? It didn't make any sense to me at all.
None. I didn't understand it.
Oh, okay. I thought I might miss something on that.
Yeah. It seemed like it was very personal to her and she just handed it. I don't know. I mean, I see handing it down, you know.
Yeah, she said it's been in her family for forever. Maybe she was handing it down, but it seemed like it would stay with her.
Right.
Until it
did feel like in that moment the way she delivered that line felt like she thought it had been lost
right
at sea or something, in like as opposed to just going, well, I know it's in Hawaii and I never thought I would see it back here. Yeah. I thought it to me it felt like right. She thought that it had been, you know,
maybe gone. She didn't know that he had it. Maybe she didn't.
Why is one of the things when you leave home, like, okay, we've all left home. My first thought was not, I'm going to take my parents' Christmas tree topper.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's not one of the first
that
things
movie
I sit
needs
there
and, its own Godwink movie, I think.
It's the legend of the topper. Yeah. It's the legend of the topper. Paul, any questions that you still have?
Well, not a question so much as I feel like what we didn't get to see was, Margie's friend Carmen, she's pretty cheeky. She's kind of a cheeky little one. She feels like a bit of a party girl to me. And I feel like she was just keeping the lid on that performance the whole time. Like she just wanted to bust loose. And also Pat's buddy Patrick seemed like he was kind of a bro. Like he was kind of a party guy. I wanted those two to meet each other and just connect immediately. Cause those two were just like simmering pots, just waiting to blow them up.
The good news is they're
their chance to shine.
Both going to be in Seattle, correct? Cause Pat's from Seattle.
The best friend who runs the shop isn't going to Seattle.
I was thinking of the best. My bad. Yeah. Well, she should move to Seattle. Everyone's doing
it. I wanted to see those two. I wanted to see their stories come together at the end.
Yeah, I can see that for sure.
Because that would have been trouble, and I'm into that.
Uh-huh. I have two things that I want to know. I do want to know why jewelry keeps falling off her body.
Yes.
It happens a lot for her. At one point, she says that she had an earring Her assistant says one was in the coffee filter, the other was in the printer toner, and I just don't know how is this happening to this. If this is a part of
earrings?
If this is a part of her true story, I need to know what is going. Like maybe she pierced someone, went a little too large with the holes. I don't know how it's happening, but they're just flopping on off. And I also just want to know, like, he knew before taking his family to Boise that he didn't get the job, right? Like there was a job in Boise that fell through. He knew when they landed.
I mean, I'd love to see his finances in general, because if you sell a business, by and large, I mean, you could sell a business and still be broke. You get the feeling that he was successful, but also that he's broke. And I don't know what the deal is there, because he sold this business and he left Hawaii, but he's moving in with his mom.
And he knew the job fell through, but they still decided to move to Boise.
Yeah.
Which the kids didn't want to do. I don't know. I'm very confused as to how obviously God was winking.
God was winking hard. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I just need to know a little bit more. Dan?
Yeah, I've got two. First, the custody agreement between Sam and his ex-wife is just wild to me. She gets the boys all summer long, and then they stay with Sam the rest of the year. And it seems like this is a very amicable agreement that everyone's on board with. And I don't know. You get them for 3 months and he gets them for 9 months and she's okay with that. She gets the 3 months where they have summer vacation. So she gets to do all the fun stuff with him. And then he's got to deal with
maybe she's off for the summer too.
But like usually in custody agreements, it goes to the mom. Yes. Unless something's wrong. It's clearly she would get custody. So I want to know that story.
Yeah.
Because that's the weirdest agreement. They wrote that into the script so you wouldn't ask a question over why they're spending Christmas with dad instead of mom. But that begs more questions. Like, she only gets them 3 months a year and it's just during the summer? Like, that's wild.
Also, if you live in Hawaii, why would you want to spend your summers in San Francisco?
Yeah, come on. You know, it's 100% true.
That's the time you want to be free in Hawaii.
Yeah.
You know,
like, and
great, we can finally surf. Let's go to San Francisco.
That's right. No, that's right. No more. Sorry. School for you in Hawaii. Hawaii schools are the best. But my second one I have to know about, and maybe someone here knows. Brandon didn't know. Maybe Paul or Panda can help me out. He tells Brooke he's going to take the kids to get snowballs and ask if she wants to come. And she makes some reference of snowball fight. And he's like, no. Not that kind of snowballs. And then the next scene you see they're eating these bags of what look like donut holes. And they look delicious. Does anyone know what a snowball
aren't
is?
Aren't snowballs that powdered about? Powdered donuts? Aren't they? They're like, I feel like sometimes they have like coconut on them and stuff.
Just
like that.
Just the munchkins with but powder
there's
on
also, I feel like there's a snowball where there's actually like coconut pieces on top of them and you can
Is a paste, a thing that's sold in convenience stores, the little big circles, but these were like little donut holes.
But maybe that's,
I don't know.
Paul, you got anything?
No, I thought they were talking about like snow cones or something like that.
I did too.
And then I saw the donuts and I was like, I assumed that it was just a powdered donut, but I'd never heard of snowballs before.
Yeah, the snowballs are there. There's a chain of snow cone shops here in Greenville called Pelican Snowballs.
Yeah.
And so, but I was like, it's too cold for a snow cone. And then I wanted to know. I want to try it. I'm up for a dessert. I'm here for it.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
We did it, everybody. Congratulations. Hey. Congratulations. We're about to dive into the double decker of the week where we celebrate one of our subscribers' stories. Panda does a deep dive. Before we do that, Paul, tell everybody your movie is premiering tonight. Where, and are you going to be like tweeting or something during it like all the cool kids do?
Christmas by Starlight premieres at 8 o'clock tonight on Hallmark Channel. I will be on Twitter. I'm in Canada, so of course it's not simulcast at the same time. So I can't follow the commercial breaks, but I'll be on Twitter, poking away at people and shouting at people and taking questions. So yeah, come find me, the Paul Campbell on Twitter.
You're the Paul Campbell.
He's a great Twitter follow, guys. He just is.
The best Paul Campbell was already taken. I had to settle for the Paul Campbell.
Paul Campbell. Yeah, I understand that completely. It's time for Double Decker of the Week. The person who has signed up for Bramble Jam Plus, BrambleJamPlus.com. And Panda, you do the deep dive into their life. The stories are remarkable. Yeah. The stuff you're able to find from Google is just next level.
Cool. Wow.
Dan, who do we have today?
We have Matt Strahl.
Yeah.
Matt Strahl. You know him, you love him. Yeah, Matt Strahl.
Matt's a good dude and just a genius. Can I say this?
He's a genius.
Straight up genius. Smart with his dude. Newest endeavor, launching a brand new company. It's called Space Jam.
Okay.
He's starting a business called Space Jam.
Name wasn't taken.
It was not. Wow. No. Okay. And it's great. He sells a variety of different jams hovering up in the air, right in this space.
I don't think...
Not hovering. Now, there is an airplane. It's an airplane.
Come out. We're not talking just like in front of you. They're way up high. Like someone's flying a plane of jams?
Yeah, a plane of jams, Dan.
Why?
Because the jam tastes better up there.
So, okay. Can I buy it once it lands?
You go up in the plane to buy it. It's great. It's a trip.
It's an adventure situation.
Say the plane is just on the tarmac. I can't walk in, get my take of all the jams, buy one and leave. I have to actually take flight.
Oh, absolutely. It's an experience.
And I want to be clear. The being on the airplane and being on the ground is the same space. So what does space have
to do with this?
It goes higher.
Is it anti-gravity?
But what is...
Are you at...
It things taste different up there. I'm just telling
you. In space? Are you in outer space?
No. Don't be ridiculous.
Okay, so wouldn't it be air jam?
It's up in the atmosphere. Don't get me. It's a high fly.
It's up in this space.
Now, we're working. We've talked with Elon. We're taking this to the next level. We're not there yet.
Now, I hate to ask this, but did you talk to Elon Musk or just some rando named Elon?
I can't confirm it was Musk himself.
Okay.
He called himself Elon. He say liked rockets. It seemed
legit.
Similar.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah. Paul, I imagine you have questions about this or no? Are you just good?
I have questions that I really don't want the answers to.
No.
I can't figure out what's happening here.
No, absolutely.
And I'm not sure that I really care.
No, and you shouldn't.
And you shouldn't.
Because you shouldn't. We don't either.
That's the thing.
We don't either. Yeah. Matt, thank you for subscribing to Bramble Jam Plus. You can do it too, BrambleJamPlus.com. All the shows completely ad-free in one central feed. And you can be like Matt. And apparently, when you subscribe, you also immediately become an entrepreneur.
Oh,
and so
I'm thankful for that.
It's pretty awesome. Yeah. Paul, thank you so much. We're excited to check out your movie tonight. It's the perfect way to end Thanksgiving. Some people might think it's with football, and I say no.
No.
Hallmark Channel, Christmas by Starlight is the place it's going to be. May we be the first to wish you a
Merry Christmas.
Deck the Hallmark is a Bramble Jam podcast. It's produced by Brandon Gray and presented by Friendly TV. Our lovely set is decorated by Plum Home Decor. You can check them out at plumonmain.com. For more information on Bramble Jam Podcast, go to BrambleJamPodcast.com. And to hear every Bramble Jam Podcast ad-free, go to BrambleJamPlus.com.